Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to nvbdc.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center, and in particular, it's after the impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. And finally, we want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program, which is Veterans Business Outreach Center, which is located in Flint, Michigan, and covers Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The center is ran and operated by veterans to help other veterans, National Guard, Reserve, spouses, expand and grow businesses. You can find more about them by going to vetbizcentral.org, 810-252-6200. And now on to our programs. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio Jennifer Lamb. She's a Marine veteran and works for Michigan Medicine, and we're going to talk about a particular program called After Her Service. But before we get there, let's back up. Jennifer, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
And I understand your formative years were in that garden spot of Oklahoma.
That's right. You know, I was born in Wyoming, and my family moved to Oklahoma when I was, about middle school age. And I went to college in Oklahoma. But, you know, as happens for many veterans, once you start traveling and going to various places, that becomes the place you came from and isn't always the place that you call home anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. It's where you entered the service, not where you're going necessarily back to. And you have an interesting path in the Marines because you started as enlisted in the Marine Reserves. How did a nice girl like you from Oklahoma end up in the Marines?
That's the question my mom asked, too. You know, when I was first starting off in college, I was, like many college students, poor and struggling and did not have a way to pay for my education. I decided I was going to join the Marine Corps kind of on a whim and enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves. I think I met with my recruiter in early December and I shipped off to boot camp in January. I served in the Marine Corps. I was a NBC, a nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons defense expert for the United States Marine Corps all through my college. And loved it. I was the third woman ever trained in that field for the Marines. And once I graduated from college, I, as you mentioned, had a different path. I then took my commission and served active duty in the Marine Corps, where I was able to leave Oklahoma for good, move to North Carolina for a while, and really deployed all over the world.
And you served for about 9 years all total, I think it was?
Yeah, that's right.
And as you made the decision to get out, you went on and furthered your education. Tell us a little bit about that and sort of where that path took you from a career transition standpoint.
Oh, sure. So, you know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I will say that I left with one of my most valuable pieces. I met a fellow Marine Corps officer, and we decided that for us to build a family and to progress in the world the way we wanted to, we were both going to leave the service and start new lives. So I married that Marine and continued on. I worked in a couple of different fields. As we transitioned out of the military, I went into sales for quite a while and really enjoyed that while my husband was getting an advanced degree. And then after having a couple of little kids, I went back to grad school. So I was the old lady with a couple of kids and went and got my master's of social work. And I also got a master's degree in early childhood education, really as an opportunity to, what I realized much later, further my ability to really serve other people and to really work for the benefit of other people. So through my, you know, I just kind of summed up about 15 years in that short little paragraph there, but I am now a social worker, and now I work on programs specifically for military and veterans, and it shows this full circle of really where my education and where my life went.
Well, I think the getting going back and getting the advanced degree, I'm sure, opened up all sorts of doors. And I think the title that you have now is Program Manager for Military Support Programs and Network. That's a mouthful.
Yes,
am I close?
You're pretty close, yes. So I am a program manager here at, it's at Michigan Medicine. I work for a program called Military Support Programs and Networks. We have a real broad scope of work where we develop programs that aren't available anywhere else. They're not available at the VA. They're not programs that are available to, you know, through other organizations that have built. We look and see what needs to happen. We design programs. We test them and make sure that they work. And then we send them out into the world to do great things. I work on two different projects here at MSPAN. One of them is focused specifically on spouses and significant others of service members and veterans. And the other one, which is really my deep passion, is working specifically with women veterans as they transition out of the military into their professional world.
Well, let me back up a little bit, too, and we're talking to Jennifer Lamb, a Marine. Jennifer, when you went in, it sounds like Mom thought you were a little nutsy for doing this. And what year did you go in and what year did you come out?
Oh, sure. So I enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1993. And then I, as I had mentioned, I was enlisted and then I became an officer. And so I surrendered my commission in 2002.
Okay. And I guess the question I have for you, because you sounded like maybe there was a little turbulence on a woman joining the Marine Corps, and I think you said on a lark. And in some regards, you know, if you're joining the military in the lark, you ought to try the Air Force or maybe,
maybe. It's funny, especially from Oklahoma. There's a lot of Air Force towns there. Funny story. I also have a sister who joined the Army and served in the Army for many years. If any of your listeners have siblings, there's always a little bit of sibling rivalry. And so once my sister joined the Army, I felt like I had to do a little bit better. And that led
There's the hidden driver. I always get a kick out of those who went into the Navy and they're from Oklahoma or Wyoming, you know, where they've never seen big water, and go, "What are you doing in the Navy? I thought it'd be interesting."
Well, and as you mentioned, it was kind of on a lark. I wasn't fully aware that the Marine Corps was amphibious, so I had to learn how to swim very, very quickly because it wasn't something that I knew how to do. But one of the things about being a Marine is they'll teach you how to do anything you need to do.
Or drown you while you're trying, right?
That's about right.
So as you look back on it now and look at that decision and see kind of where it all led from personal family life and career wise, I suspect that you get asked by people as a woman, as a female veteran, hey, would you let your daughter go into the military these days? So often I ask that question at the end, but I think maybe I'm going to ask it right here because we're sort of talking about that. It can be a challenge to make that decision.
You know, it's a real challenge. And when I joined the Marine Corps, there was about 380 men for every woman that served. Nowadays, there's many more women that are joining the military and that are becoming veterans. So even back when I enlisted, it was a lower percentage of women than it is now. I often think about that because I do have two daughters, and I think about branches of service. And, you know, I will say that I loved the Marine Corps. It was something that when I joined the Marine Corps and now as a veteran, I feel like I've never have to prove that I can do this again. But I often look at my two beautiful daughters, and I think what they would be like when, you know, when they're ready to join the military, if that was something they wanted to do. For one of them, I think it would be a fantastic choice. She has the personality and the ability that if she were to join a branch, you know, any of the branches of service, I think she'd be really, really successful. My other daughter is very free-spirited, and I'm not so sure if that would be a real great choice for her. If she wanted to, I would support her as much as I could, but we'd also talk about the differences in service. And of course, I get the benefit of being able to talk about the differences between being enlisted as a woman and being an officer as a woman and how you're treated and kind of those differences. If either of them decided to join, I would be incredibly proud and also incredibly nervous and worried, because I think those are the two things that anybody has when they're in the service.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think any parent ever sends their child off to the military without a healthy dose of worrying, because it's a dangerous profession, even in its training aspects, as we know. But the importance of that female dynamic is really sort of the transition here to this program after her service. The military now is made up of high teens, 16 to 19% female. So the statistics for veterans are changing. Certainly out of World War II, it was, you know, male dominated, and, you know, 99%, but now it's changing. So the needs of veterans are changing. And is that what you found at MSPAN?
Absolutely. One of the things that we really focus on with any of our programs is what are the needs of veterans? And when you refer back to like World War II, for example, you know, both of my grandparents served in World War II, one in the Army and one in the Navy. And what had happened then is you met a buddy. Your buddy says, oh, hey, my dad happens to own this company. When we get out, I'm going to help you get a job. And suddenly they get this incredibly, you know, high-paying job because of their service. Now when we see veterans that are leaving the military, we have a society that, even though there's more women that are in the military, and you're, you know, talking about anywhere from 16 to 18%, it's still a very low percentage of individuals that are veterans. And when they start to look for jobs or they start to integrate back into the world as a veteran, there's fewer people in their neighborhood, even in their career path, that understands what they've gone through. And that's one of the things that we really look at and focus on is how does the veteran path, what does it look like for individuals, and how has it changed over the years?
And that work, both practical and research, I suppose, at Michigan Medicine, led to developing an innovative program called After Her Service. Can you explain what that is?
I would love to. After Her Service, as I mentioned, is just this program that I have so much passion for. It's built specifically for post-9/11 women veterans who are looking to be better personally and better professionally. And After Her Service tries to meet these women veterans at kind of that intersection between mental health and positive employment. So if you are struggling to get a job, for example, or even if you got a job and you don't feel like you're in the right career path or you're not in the position where you want to be, your mental health and how you feel about yourself might take a hit. When people are looking for a job or a career, it's seldom that you know, they don't start to have some self-doubts. And so what After Her Service does is it's a three-prong approach to really helping women veterans. And we start off with a skill-building retreat. It's a two-day in-person resiliency workshop where we work with women veterans on building their personal story, on claiming that title of being a veteran, because not all women claim that title and hold that title with a lot of pride. Some women don't always see themselves as a veteran first. They see themselves as many other hats that they could wear. We do a two-day skill-building retreat to really help enhance their mental health and their wellness, and also to really just help them with their personal resiliency, how to bounce back when things get tough. And then we connect them for 12 sessions of one-on-one professional coaching to help them set up and meet professional goals. So this program doesn't just help with mental health. It also helps with either employment or being much more successful in your professional career. And the entire time that they're going through these 12 coaching sessions with a professional coach, we also set up a virtual tribe for these women, a closed social media group where we feature content, share resources, and offer peer-to-peer support for them to really help them be successful through the entire duration of the program. It's a program that we're really quite proud of because there's not a lot of programming made specifically for women veterans, and there's not a lot of programming made for women veterans that really touches on those two pieces of being successful in your transition into the non-military world, of being, you know, resilient and keeping that positive mental health, and also being really successful in whatever career goal they're looking for. And we think that we found a program that is needed, and we think we found a program that is really successful for the women that we've been able to put through this program.
We've talked to a lot of experts over the years on Veterans Radio, and we're talking to one now in Jennifer Lamb, who's a licensed social worker. She's a Marine. She's working on this cool program called After Her Service with Michigan Medicine. And we often hear, Jennifer, that veterans sort of are an affinity group, right? They wouldn't maybe seek out this help unless it was a group of like-minded or like experienced veterans. Do you find that because this is a female veterans group, there's sort of more buy-in and more comfort, and I'm willing to take this risk on because these folks have been where I've been?
Absolutely. You know, we actually have these two different affinity groups because the program is designed specifically for women veterans. And we have women that are leading the programming, and we connect these women veterans with coaches. Many of them, most of them, are women professional coaches. There's that affinity group there of somebody that understands a little bit of the doubts and some of the concerns that women have in the workforce. And then we also have the ability to say, you know, it's quite a lovely experience when we start the retreat and I throw up some pictures of me and my uniforms over the years, and we talk about what it was like to be actually in the military and in the service and what it was like to serve and what it feels like to be a veteran. It's one of these things that I think the military looks for, and I think it's something that veterans look for. You really don't know how to navigate a system unless you have someone that's navigated that system themselves. And it is quite nice to be able to look to, you know, a community of women veterans and say, I've been there. I've gone through a couple of different job changes and I've tried to find out what the right place for me is. Let me show you the way. And even to have a group of women veterans that say, wait, I know the way, and have someone else say, no, wait, I know the way. And to be able to listen and lean on each other really does make this program stronger every time we are able to run it again.
And I think you just mentioned one of those things that takes veterans, male and female, a long time to figure out. And when they do, they go, oh, it takes all the stress off me. Your first job out of the service isn't going to be your last job. You're going to change teams. You're going to change career fields. The military service is such a different beast in terms of career progression, and you never change teams, right? You're a Marine. You're not going over to the Coast Guard.
That's right.
So it, you know, when you moved from pharmaceutical sales over to your next job area, it had to feel a lot different. And I think people don't realize that's just the normal progression. Do you find when you talk to the women that it just they thought they were going to get one job and stay there, and they're stressed out that they want to do something different?
Oh, absolutely. We talk with women who were, you know, air controllers for a branch of service and got out and thought they were going to become air controllers for Delta Airlines, only to realize that they were very specifically and specially trained in what they were doing for the military. And then you often have to take a step back or take a step laterally to retrain, to rethink. And, you know, in my case, I started over a few times. And that takes a lot of, you know, just self-confidence to often, I'd mentioned, to be the oldest person in a school program or to be much older than your peers when you start through a program. But then to know that, you know, your experience and your knowledge will help you rise quickly. We often talk about the fact that your first career might not be your last, and the career that you thought you were going to do, you might actually hate. But there's always an opportunity for someone to find a career and a personal path that's successful for them and that they find a lot of comfort and joy in.
When did the after the service program or after her service program begin?
So we launched about 2.5 years ago. We had funding from the Bristol Myers Squibb Foundation to start, and we had funding to be able to try 50 women. We grouped these women into two different cohorts of 25 each. When we started taking applications for this program, we had hundreds and hundreds of women applying for this program, with us knowing that we only had the ability to serve 50 women at the time. It was a pilot study, and it was our chance to really see if this program was going to work. We thought it would, but the way that it always works at the University of Michigan and even at MSPAN is if you think it works, you got to test it and make sure. A little over a year ago, we got additional funding to do some enhancements and continue to run this program again. We started recruiting and were able to have another cohort of about 30 women. And we're just about to start another cohort when we closed down for a short amount of time because of COVID. But the program's been running for several years now. We've been able to see the success of many of the women that we've been able to interact with through this program. And truly, we're just looking forward to an opportunity for the world to be safe enough for us to be able to start this up again and start working with more and more women veterans.
Could you explain how once the program runs through these next couple of cohorts and you say, yep, we really understand what works and what doesn't, how does it get pushed out to a wider audience? Who will pick this up in Oklahoma to make sure that the female veterans in Oklahoma have access, for example?
So that becomes a challenge for us right now because, you know, as I'm talking to you now in August, the world has changed greatly from when we started this program. And the ability for companies and large-scale donors to be able to fund this program, a lot of times that funding now with COVID has gone into different directions. So our next challenge is, once we finish this program, is to find who is still going to be able to fund programming for women veterans and to be able to make them successful. We have hopes that this would be a program that, you know, many of the big corporations could take under their belt. I think of these corporations that advertise so heavily about how they hire veterans. I think that's fantastic, and I have been hired by many organizations over the years that really advertises about how they hire veterans. But what I would love to see is these companies and corporations that really hire veterans, I want to see them invest some money to make these veterans really successful when they get hired as well. So I don't have a great answer for you on where it's going to go next, because the world changed drastically for us. And so we're trying to really evaluate how we're going to be able to build programming for veterans and who's going to help us fund that as we continue along.
Well, let's hope there's somebody on Veterans Radio who's listening at the moment who says, I've got a business, or my brother-in-law is a CEO at a Fortune 500 company, and I think he needs to hear about this. Where would you direct people to get more information about the program?
Yeah, there's two things that they can do. They can go to, we have a website that's mspan.org, and they could go to that or that website and get more information on After Her Service. There's a contact me button at the bottom so that they can reach out to myself or someone else on the After Her Service staff for more information. We love talking to individuals about this program. We love talking to people who are interested in learning more about this program to benefit either their communities or the veterans that they hire as well. So going to that website of mspan.org is a great place to start.
Well, Jennifer Lamb, who's the program manager for Military Support Programming and Network at MSPAN, which is part of Michigan Medicine. This is an interesting narrow niche of helping out female veterans. And I think in a world where it's easy to kind of get watered away, there's so few veterans or so few female veterans, something specific to help them in their transition, both personally and professionally and mental health-wise, is really a focused, great idea. Does this program have a certain life to it? Does it, the money runs out in 2 years and it's over with, or by that point, do you expect that you can roll it out?
You know, our entire organization has been completely grant-funded for each of the programs that we've developed. We have a lot of faith in our primary investigator, who is able to help us find funding and secure funding. And, you know, this program will run out of funding soon. I'm hoping that we'll be able to find some ability to get it funded again, because it is, as you mentioned, pretty novel, and it is something that there's a need for. And we're seeing a lot of really positive responses from the women veterans that go through this program. The biggest thing that I talk to with people is they would have done it for you. These are women who put it all on the line, for people in their communities and people in this country. It would be so amazing if we can find individuals who are willing to give back to those who gave.
Jennifer Lamb, thank you for talking to Veterans Radio today to inform us more about female veterans and the innovative program After Her Service.
Jim, it was absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.